Are you ready to cultivate confident, resilient, and mentally strong dancers? Introducing Lauren Ritchie's Mental Skills Masterclasses, designed to build dancers from the inside out. Join them live and online for a transformative journey where each month, dancers will dive deep into a different mental skill, including confidence, growth mindset, motivation, resilience, and stress regulation. In these engaging one-hour sessions, you will learn, reflect, and practice personalized mental skills, exercises, and techniques that you can immediately apply to your training, performances, and everyday life. This program is perfect for dancers age 12 and above who are committed to growth, curiosity, and community. Dancers can log on individually or as dance teams. And don't worry if the live classes don't align with your schedule, as sessions will be recorded and available online for viewing at your convenience. Visit www.withlauren.ca or follow the link below for more details and grab your information package today. Hello and welcome to The Background Dancer. I'm your host, Jason Yap, and thank you for joining me with our community of passionate dance contributors from around the world and across different fields. In this weekly podcast, I offer educational conversations and insightful tips to help you better understand all things offstage about this curious art form. Hello and welcome back to another solo edition of The Background Dancer. I hope you've had a great week as well as a great month. But most importantly, I hope you're healthy and happy and that you've enjoyed the last three episodes featuring my Malaysian comrades in dance, Professor Joseph Victor Gonzalez, as well as Bill Casillas. This is episode 8. Which is also the final installment to the art management discussions that we've been having throughout the month of March. But also for this season actually, meaning we'll have to come back next season to continue exploring other issues concerning art management or similar questions within this field. But fret not, because that just means we'll have an entire year to really contemplate, to really consider what are the important questions that need to be asked concerning art management itself. But also, we'll have enough time for you to send me more feedback, questions, and ideas really for me to talk about on this podcast. I would love to hear more what you want me to explore. For this episode, I'll be using this opportunity to experiment a little bit to help align some of these potential careers I'm about to introduce to you with your individuality. In the first segment, I will be discussing something called a BERT personality test, in some cases called the DOPE, DOPE personality test. And in the following segment, I will be introducing more management roles that have not been mentioned throughout this month. And of course, what I will try to do is to combine these two things and recommend which of these careers you should be looking at or at least consider. So, without further ado, let's just get right into it. The reason why I chose the BERT or DOPE personality test, outside of it being quite easy and fun actually, is because it was the first ever test that I took when I enrolled into my first degree. It was Help University in Malaysia, and I remembered first thing they made us do was to take a personality test. Now, for those of you who have had a psychological background like me, you would understand that throughout our studies, we have to take tons of personality tests. And the DOPE BERT test was the first one I've ever taken, which means, of course, it rings well in my heart. Now, the BERT personality test is not an effective assessor of personality, but more of just a fun way to reinforce your self-awareness. So hopefully you already know a little bit about yourself, and this just gives us another layer and added perspective from our concept of BERTs, at least the humanly understanding of BERTs. If you want to have a better gauge of personality traits with regards to career, try the Myers-Briggs Indicator or the MAPP Career Assessment. There are a bevy more career assessment tests that you can take in order to find that out. So once again, a huge disclaimer. Of the management roles that I will be introducing later on, many of them are interchangeable and have overlapping job descriptions depending on the scale of the project or institution at play. It really depends on the organizational framework that we're participating in. And yes, the results of this particular BERT test that you could take does not and should not determine the recommended careers. This test is basically a navigator to make better career decisions or maybe to better adapt to your work settings. So what exactly is the Doe-Bert personality test? In 1928, Dr. William Marston wrote a book called The Emotions of Normal People. And within that, he presented a personality evaluator model called the DISC profile. Now, DISC is an acronym that stands for Dominant, Influence, Steadiness, and Conscientiousness. In some cases, we use compliance as well. But what started from a microcosm of a personality model then exploded into many more similar ones. Many people adapted this model to make their own. And one of them was Richard N. Stevenson. He wrote a book called The Doe-Bert Personality Test. And basically, it just mirrors the DISC profile, but from the angle of birds. D stands for dove, O stands for owl, P, peacock, and E, an eagle. And they're quite similar because you can have the dominant eagles, influential like a peacock, steady like a dove, and conscientious like an owl. So let's go through some of these birds and really see which of them most resembles you. First up, the biblical bird. Doves are peaceful, friendly, and generally pleasant to work with. They're warm, empathetic, and are usually able to perceive most situations from multiple perspectives. But because they tend to avoid conflict and change, they seldom vocalize in the workplace or uncomfortable situations. Doves usually make great teachers and counselors. Next up, the wide-eyed oracle, owls. Owls are analytical, methodical, and super organized. They have great attention to detail and generally love structure. Now, while they are extremely logical, it can take them a while to make decisions as they tend to proceed only when absolutely sure of all the facts and figures at hand. As you can guess, they are good with numbers and thrive in data-driven careers such as engineering, financial services, digital analytics, or science. Next up is the flamboyant one. Yes, the peacock. If you're known for being the life of the party or a people person, you're probably a peacock. Now, they're usually really outgoing, extroverted, very cheerful, bubbly people, high-spirited. They're also really great with people. But the downside is they can be quite impatient, impulsive, and inattentive to details. So peacocks thrive in roles that really involve engaging with people. So you probably know like sales, marketing, and PR. Last but not least, let's look at the sky's mightiest predator. Eagles are born leaders thanks to their bold and decisive personalities. They're driven, inspiring, and never misses an opportunity to lead others. These are the ones that most people would call the high achievers. However, they can sometimes come across as too domineering or outspoken in the workplace, and thus confrontational. Eagles, traditionally make great CEOs or department managers, and the reason why I say traditionally is because I think we all know there is a recent shift of CEO traits from maybe the more domineering type, the more authoritarian type, to the more, let's say, diplomatic, more inspiring, let's say, motivational type. I don't know. basically just the traditional perspective of what egos do or how egos make great CEOs. So the secret here is, and this was evident as well when I took the test back then, is that you can have a rung of birds, which means you can have all four of them, actually, depending on which is the most dominant. Because personality is way too complex to have this divisive analysis. It's not exclusive. So you can have the eagle trait as the most dominant trait, followed by an owl trait, let's say, dove, so on and so forth. Once again, this is just a fun and easy entry point into the following segment where we will be talking about some management roles and how some of these bird types fit these roles according to me, at least just in my opinion and my understanding of both the artistic as well as the psychological facets of this episode. Hey, Jason here with a special message for you to help and continue serving our beloved performing arts community. So here's what you can do. Share this with one person you believe who this episode can benefit and attach a personal note explaining why. This way, you are not only helping me grow this show, but also adding value to those you truly care about. Massive appreciation, as it means the world to me. And let's get right back to the show. Let's take a short break. And on the other side, we will be talking about more management roles such as project managers, production managers, things that we have not mentioned in the previous episodes. Stay tuned and we'll be right back. Before we continue with the following segment, I would just like to take this opportunity to let you all know, every one of you, just massive thank you for supporting me throughout. It's been 1 month since I started The Background Dancer, and I have already received tons of good comments and feedback about both the content that I'm producing, but also raising awareness regarding all these different aspects about the dance industry. With that, I will be introducing a whole new segment, actually, and I will only let you know at the end of the show, so definitely stick around to find out what that is. But once again, thank you so much, guys. Let's move on to the following segment. So in the previous episodes, I've already introduced what a producer is, what a creative producer could be, and also what an artistic director is, what a company founder is, all these more common sort of roles that we tend to deal with in the arts industry. Some others may not be as ostensible, so let's go through some of them. First up, what is a project manager? Yes, project managers are responsible for building, tracking, monitoring, and ultimately delivering a project. So they deal with the financials, the temporal as well as the physical aspects. But most importantly, I think the project manager has the utmost responsibility of balancing everyone's expectations so that what finally gets invented actually works within the set limitations. Sounds familiar? I know. Essentially, a project manager is a producer. It's just that you can have interchangeable names. Project managers exist more in the corporate sphere, from my experience, also sometimes in the visual arts sphere. But if you're talking about theater production, then we'll mostly associate the producer with this role. Next up is a production manager, and upon that, a stage manager. So a production manager manages the logistics and procuring all of the necessities of a production, but at the theater or performance site level. So as you can expect, who deals with the audience, who deals with the lighting, the sound, the costumes, catering maybe, accommodation for cast and crew, rehearsals, and of course, event rundowns. So literally a bird's eye view And in some cases, of course, if you have more budget, then you could even hire a stage manager to help the production manager extend responsibilities. A stage manager, just like the production manager, they have very similar job descriptions, just a little bit more granular. So for example, managing the backstage, such as queuing the performers, entering, exiting the stage itself, also looking after risk and safety protocols. Stage managers have a whole lot of responsibility to make sure dances are safe. And of course, the whole theater doesn't go up in flames, but in an ideal world, you would have the producer, the production manager, and the stage manager all working at the same time, but that really is quite rare. So one of the comparisons that then gets thrown around is the difference between producer and a production manager. So what exactly is the difference between these two roles? A producer is someone who ties the whole thing together from the ground up. So they see through the pre-production, during the production, as well as post-production phases. And then after that, gets to evaluate the revenue stream and then bring it to the markets and the festival circuits. And the production managers don't usually appear in these more massive scale events where there's a lot more networking and a lot more pitching of ideas. Yep, you have the producer usually present in those situations. So in a nutshell, I think the production manager is a little bit more theater specific, meaning they really work at the performance site level, whereas the producer is a little bit more bird's eye of the entire industry, of the entire framework of the event. And most importantly, I think the producer and production manager and stage manager and project manager, all of them are very considerable careers for people who are in firstly the Owl groups, the Peacock groups, or the Eagle groups. So people who are analytical, people who are really good at networking, people who are not afraid to take charge and are not aversive to change, generally speaking. Next up is art administrator. So what exactly is an art administrator? I think the nomenclature is quite self-explanatory. Yeah, everything regarding administration. So PR, marketing, contracting, venue reservations, box office ticketing, sponsorship and funding. So all of the logistics, many people associate this word paperwork with art administrators. Well, the job scope of an art administrator tends to be overlapped and shared by many others. And honestly, everyone does a bit of art administration, be it a producer, be it a programmer, which I will talk about later on. Everyone does a little bit of administration. It can be paperwork, it can be sitting in front of a computer, typing stuff out, calculating stuff, analyzing stuff. Yes, art administration, I believe, is quite ubiquitous, especially in the management field. So as an art administrator, I think people who are belonging to the Dove category, the Owl category, as well as the Peacock category should really consider being an art administrator. People who are very analytical, who really require a lot of peace at their workplace, but also can be quite extroverted when it comes to networking, when it comes to pitching ideas. So next up is programmer. A programmer. Now we're getting to the really juicy stuff. A programmer is something that gets commonly confused with something called a curator. And I'm pretty sure you've heard of them both. But when we talk about programmers, at least in the context of a festival, a conference, or summit, a programmer resembles much more of an event organizer. And their priorities are, of course, more audience-centered. How can they attract a large audience with appropriate selections? Now, this is purely the bums in seats approach. They are experts in generating viewership through maximizing as well as mastering the mechanics of an event in its entirety. Basically, what's the hook? So, for example, If you have a holiday or a special occasion, Halloween, Chinese New Year, Christmas, are there films, are there dances that could coincide with these occasions that will bring more viewership, that will bring more attention, excitement, let's say? If you have a well-known artist who has had a new release, a new film, a new song, how do you place that within the festival or the entire event to have people go through the entire event and still want to attend that particular show? They require a much more economical approach, let's say, regarding the participants that will encompass as well as contribute to the event's framework. So how does that then differ from the next role, a curator? First thing that strikes me when you talk about a curator is, oh, they are sort of the connoisseurs of art, right? Something quite prestigious, something very specific. In my understanding, a curator is someone who combines all three of an artist, an educator, as well as a historian. Curators spend most of their time researching socially, culturally, and artistically relevant work. Now, compared to the programmer, who is a little bit more economical, a curator requires more sophisticated levels of aesthetical knowledge regarding the artists and artworks by acting as somewhat as an intermediary or a gatekeeper of culture and arts. I think a curator is kind of like the in thing right now because it has received growing attention of how it plays a very crucial role in what people need to see, in what needs to be presented a little bit more. That was also my entry point into my fascination of curation and producing. Yep. What is the difference between a programmer and a curator? Well, let's think of it this way. While a programmer thinks about what the audience needs from the program or the event as a whole, a curator selects what he or she wants the audience to see. Got it? Yep. So I think it's just a difference of perspectives. One's more economical, one's more aesthetical. Once again, they could be interchangeable. And I think curators and programmers would be perfect for people in either the Dove or the Owl category. People who are a bit more studious, a bit more analytical, people who don't mind doing tons of research locked up in a room. I want to be a curator one day as well. And I have been a curator actually to a very small degree, but I had to do tons of research to have a wider understanding of different genres, different artists, and of course, different contexts. So it's a very challenging role, but this is my understanding of these two roles. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode where I tried to marry my psychological background with my current profession in the performing arts. Once again, the BERT Dope Personality Test is just a trivial, fun way to gain an entry point into your personality and also these prospective career pathways. I really encourage you to consider some of these roles. And if you are already doing them, hey, reach out to me and let me know how it's going because I will be joining you in the not too distant future. But before we go, now's the time to let you know what I was talking about at the break. And that is, I'm going to be introducing a whole new segment from the next episode onwards in the next month. And that is to have special shoutouts. Absolutely. What I'll do is before every episode comes out, you know, send in your feedback and I will feature each and every one of you and maybe even discuss them a little bit further. Another thing I would like to remind all of you is to join the Background Dancers Community Facebook page, Facebook group actually, and that is a space to invite and interact with more dancers or performers just like me, who have such passion to be a performer, but also have a list and a range of other things, other interests about the performing arts that they would like to engage with. So this will be a space to interact with other health professionals, other producers, other technology geeks, let's say. I don't know. It's just a space for you to really indulge and express your interests apart from dance. And I really encourage you to join that Facebook group so that not only would you be able to meet other like-minded people, but also you can you'll be able to reach out to me much more directly. Yep. So yes, keep those comments coming in. Appreciate all the support so far. It's been 1 month and hopefully, yeah, I'll just keep going. Keep giving you the great content that you deserve. So once again, appreciate your time. Remember to stay healthy, stay happy, and have a great, great week ahead. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe, comment, and leave a review on your designated podcast and social media platforms. If you found this interesting or helpful, feel free to share with members of your community so that they too may connect with us in our quest to foreground dance in the background. I am Jason Yup of The Background Dancer, and as always, catch you next time. Calling all dance educators and leaders, whether it's through a professional development weekend, day, or workshop, Lauren Mitchie is passionate about connecting with fellow educators who are in the trenches, pouring their hearts into their work with unwavering dedication. From navigating stress and perfectionism to fostering confidence and resilience in dancers, Lauren provides invaluable guidance on supporting students through every step of their journey. Because, let's face it, our work changes lives, and it's most impactful when teachers embrace, communicate, and practice mental skills themselves. Join her online teacher workshops and education sessions, where you explore topics like understanding the brain stages of your students, enhancing motivation, effective feedback strategies, preparing for competition, and fostering team cohesion. Ready to transform your teaching approach and empower your students like never before? Reach out today to learn more at www.withlauren.ca/teacher-workshops or click the link in the show notes below.